Joining us now on the line is one of the living legends in the world of golf. 62 career victories on the PGA Tour, including 7 majors, 4 of those being green jackets. It is legendary golfer Arnold Palmer. Arnie, good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Russ and Pat. Nice to be with you.
Well, it's great to be with you, Arnold. You are certainly, as I mentioned, a living legend, and it's always great to hear you talk about golf and other things. And last week's Arnold Palmer Invitational, and it was a phenomenal tournament, as has been the case recently. Tiger Woods winning for a 6th time. It's got to be, I'd imagine, pretty fun watching Tiger win your tournament each year.
Well, it at least brings it down to the last hole, and it is very exciting. And of course, the golf is something to see. It's very good. A lot of great golf shots, and it worked out very well.
Hey, Arnie, one of the things Russ and I talk about often is Russ is of the belief that no matter what Tiger does, it's great for golf, and if he continues to dominate, the ratings for golf and all that, the crowds, everything is going to be really good. I sort of have the contention that I think it would be even better for golf if somebody could challenge Tiger, even if it's just once in a while, because obviously Tiger, the majority of the time, is still going to probably win. But I kind of have the belief that much like what you had with Jack, that Tiger needs some kind of a foil out there to just keep things interesting once in a while. Do you have that same opinion, or do you think even if he just continues dominating, the people will continue to watch?
Well, I think that you're right in both cases. I think that as long as he's playing the kind of golf he is and making the headlines, people will continue to watch him. But I also will say to you that I think a little competition and maybe an occasional loss would not hurt anything. It would only increase the interest, I think, to see what happens when he gets the challenge.
I agree with you, Arnold, and I agree with Pat. I think it would help if there are guys that could stand toe-to-toe with him and stare him down and perhaps win from time to time. And you know, if he would lose from time to time, it maybe would make him more human. I think that's not the case as of right now, though. The last 15 years, it seems like every time Tiger needs to make a putt, he does. And I know you thought he would make that putt last year at the 08 event, and I'm sure you probably felt the same way last weekend there at Bay Hill. Is Tiger the greatest putter that you have ever seen?
Well, he's certainly one of the greatest putters, and you don't win golf tournaments if you're not a good putter. Whatever anyone says about the game and how you play it, to win tournaments, you have to putt the ball good. You don't. Not anyone that hits every green or hits every chip shot dead to the pin. You've got to make those putts, and if you go back even last week with Tiger, you know, he made 5, 6, 7 putts in a row to maintain the position that he was in, whether it was from a chip or whether it was from a second shot or whatever. I can think of holes like the 14th where he was in the sand trap buried and he came out and made the putt. That sort of thing is very, very important. And I go back and repeat that if you don't putt well, you don't win.
Hey, Arnie, I wanted to ask you specifically about, as Russ mentioned, this is Tiger's 6th win at your tournament. I think it's the 11th time he's played in it, so he's winning at a better than 50% clip. But early on, I remember that he had some difficulty with Bay Hill. He was not as successful the first few times he played it, and then something went off, a switch went off, and he's really been able to play that course well. Have you talked with him or about why he's been able to have such success at Bay Hill, which is not an easy golf course?
Well, I've heard him talk about it, and of course he feels pretty comfortable here. But you should know that he won the junior tournament here before he ever turned pro. He came here and played in a junior tournament and did very well then too.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, and we are pleased to be joined on the line by Arnold Palmer, the legendary golfer, World Golf Hall of Famer, and 7 major victories, including 4 green jackets, Arnie. And you've been in Augusta for the Masters every year since 1955, and you're going to be going up there again next week for, of course, the Champions Dinner and the Par 3 tournament. And I'm curious, what's your favorite thing about the Masters and Augusta National?
Well, you know, I spent 50 years playing in that tournament, and from the very first year, I just looked forward to getting to Augusta, where I guess things are just perfect there as far as being a participant in the Masters. And I remember playing the Winter Tour and just really working so hard to get in shape so that when I got to Augusta, I'd have my game where I wanted it. And I suppose part of it was knowing the conditions at Augusta were so good. The golf course is pristine, and it always is. Things just seem to be very, very inviting at Augusta.
Arnie, I checked out your website. It's one of the interesting things that you have on there, kind of like this date in history, your history, specific things happen in golf. And one of the things on there for this week in April was that you had a practice round in 1958, the first year you ended up winning the Masters, with a bunch of pretty well-known guys, including Dal Fisterwall, Jackie Burke, and Ben Hogan. And one of the things that it says that you used to kind of spur yourself on for that Masters in that particular year was overhearing Ben Hogan say to Burke, "What the hell is Palmer doing getting an invitation to the Masters?" Is that a true story? And if so, did that really spur you on to help you concentrate for that that year?
Well, it certainly didn't hurt. And he did say to Burke, "How did he get an invitation to the Masters after we had played a round of golf together?"
Arnie, I'm sure that there are a lot of memories for you at Augusta. Obviously, four green jackets. It's kind of cool to me how you won in every other year, 58, 60, 62, and 64. A lot of memorable shots for you. Are there a couple that maybe stand out, maybe from some of those victories?
Well, yes, and a couple of putts at the right time were very key to those victories. But there was a couple of years when in between, like in 59 and 61, that everything didn't work as well as it should have. And 61, I made six at the last hole to lose to Gary Player by a shot. That was kind of a hurt. So it happens both ways. The good news is that I had the good fortune to win four times.
Arnie, I know memorable shots, speaking of memorable shots, not just at the Masters, for me, and obviously I'm too young to have seen it live, but I've seen the video many, many times, and it's phenomenal. 1960 U.S. Open at Cherry Hills, you drove the first green. I got to imagine that that's one of the most memorable shots for you in your career.
Well, it certainly was, and the circumstances leading up to it were interesting. I played three rounds and I played pretty well. And it was one of those weeks that things weren't happening. Putts weren't going in, and I made a little mistake here and a little mistake there. And then I was talking to a friend, a reporter that Pat may have known from Pittsburgh by the name of Bob Drum. And yeah, he was a friend, and he had been following me since I was a boy and a writer for the Pittsburgh paper. And I saw him as I walked in before I went out to play the last round, and I said something about, "What do you think if I shot 65 this afternoon?" And I was looking for some encouragement. And, of course, he shot back very almost like, "Hey, nothing is going to help you." and of course, that ended my lunch and whatever I was looking for. And I went to the practice tee, went out to the first hole, and drove it on the green.
Hey, Arnie, getting back real quick to the Masters, I read an article about Greg Norman, who's going to play there for the first time since 2002, and he basically said, you know, the course is so long right now that he really can't be competitive. I also read a little funny article about Fuzzy Zeller, and Fuzzy saying, I guess last year after teeing off, you kind of looked at him and said, "What are you still doing here? Why are you still playing in this thing?" And so he's going to play. This is going to be his last year playing. Jack Nicklaus was the oldest person to win this at age 46. Is the length getting to the point where you're probably not going to see a guy much over 45 really have a chance to win this thing?
Well, I can't say that that's the case, but I can say that it is long. And it wouldn't surprise me to see them maybe even shorten it up a little in the years to come, although these young guys are hitting it so far that length is not a big deal anymore.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, and we are joined by Arnold Palmer, the living legend, World Golf Hall of Famer, 7 career major victories, including 4 green jackets, and of course, he will be in Augusta next week for the Champions Dinner and the Wednesday Par 3 contest. Arnie, just a couple of quickies for you before we let you go. First of all, the 30th edition this year of the Champions Tour, which began way back in 1980, and I would imagine that you would feel something special in your heart for the Champions Tour, considering when it first began, it was mostly all about you.
Well, the Champions Tour has been great over the years. I was there when it was going, and would like to think that I helped get it really flying, and it's been great, and we're very happy, and I'm personally very happy if I have helped make it as good as it is.
Arnie, what's your schedule like after the Bay Hill? Do you hang around Florida for a little bit and then go back up to Pennsylvania, or are you here pretty much year-round?
Well, I stay here a lot, and I'm here, and I go to Pennsylvania in the summer for a little bit. But I spend a lot of time here in Orlando.
Well, Arnie, speaking of Pennsylvania, of course, you are a dyed-in-the-wool Steelers fan, much like my esteemed co-host.
He has to be, isn't it, Trace?
And you have to be as well, Pat, because it's in the family. But for both of you guys, it's got to be a lot of fun these last few years. 2 Super Bowl victories the last 4 years. You got to have a huge grin on your face, I would imagine.
Oh, I do, and I love the Steelers. They are great. And the Rooney family, they're all good buddies.
I appreciate that, Arnie. I know my uncle got named to be the ambassador of Ireland, so I'm hopeful that I'll get a chance to go over there and maybe stay wherever. He's supposed to be at some palatial resort or house now, but maybe I can get some golf in if I go over there.
Well, don't forget to play the K-Club and Tralee, some of my golf courses in Ireland.
I have played Tralee. That's beautiful. I haven't played the K-Club, though.
Arnie, you're a big fan of Lynx Golf, are you not?
Well, I won the British Open at Birkdale and at Troon, and that was something that I had put in my books that I wanted to do, and I always felt like you had to win tournaments like that to be considered a great player.
Well, Arnold, we have marveled at your game for years, and it's so nice to get a chance to talk to you. Congratulations on the 31st Arnold Palmer Invitational this year. Once again, Tiger Woods is your champion. Good luck in Augusta. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Well, thank you, Russ and Pat. We'll look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks, Arnie.
He is a class act. Legendary golfer Arnold Palmer, the king. 62 career PGA Tour victories, including 7 major championships, 4 of those green jackets. And I'll tell you what, Pat, I am amazed when we ask him about his fondest memories. One of the first things that comes to his mind is actually a failure, double bogeying 18 in 1961 to lose by a stroke to Gary Player. It's amazing to me how the greats, no matter what sport you're talking about, they always fixate on the failures, and that's really, I think, what drives most of them to be so great.
Because you always, if you're great, you expect to do great things. So when you don't, that bothers you, and you fixate on it. And that's why I think you could ask Jack or Tiger or any of them their most memorable moments, and it's not necessarily going to be a great shot because they expect to do that. The things that surprise them are things that go wrong, and that's sort of what you end up harping on.
See, maybe that's why I'm a 14 handicap, because I'm kind of the opposite. I expect to fail, and when I hit it dead, you know,
you remember that. You're like, wow, I did it.
Right, and I'm like amazed when I hit it to 5 feet. I'm like, holy crap, did I do that? And perhaps that's the difference between me and Arnold Palmer.
You got to expect those birdies, Russ. Don't be shocked that you got 2 out of 3 birdies when we played at Bear Lake.
Thank you very much for that, Pat. I appreciate it. You're helping my ego immensely. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic.